Well, good morning, everyone. This is the 16th of August, 2013, and we are working in a treatise on cosmic fire toward the very end. As I've said, I have done commentaries of a written type up to page 1194 over a period of years. And now I'm concluding these commentaries with the more audiovisual method. We are working with the creative hierarchies once again, and we're dealing with the five liberated creative hierarchies and the symbolism for them. It is said of them that the lives of that which appeared, the third solar, previous solar system, rotated, I suppose spent one great cycle, and gathered to themselves the fifth aspect of Mahat, which was peculiarly active in that solar system. As a matter of fact, I suppose this is the aspect of Mahat which presently is out of control in some of the initiates of that solar system who have turned to the left-hand path, the path of purely intellectual materialism. Then further it said the symbol of these five creative hierarchies, actually we dealt with, just to review here, we dealt with their symbols for the Piscean hierarchy, a ball of green fire with three rays of rose, very much reminding us of the human solar plexus chakra, a sphere divided by a tau in colors green and silver, again two colors of the third ray, a bird with plumage dark and with the eye of radiant fire, suggesting Aldebaran in the eye of the bull, two stars of vivid rose linked by a band of violet. Some unusually fruitful associations came through here in terms of the path of magnetic work, which is connected with Gemini and connects the two astral planes, cosmic astral and systemic astral. And number five, an ovoid of color indigo with five letters or symbolic words within its borders. And I've written on these matters here a little bit so that you can maybe remind yourself also of what is said by what is written just by freezing the screen. Then the symbol which signifies the liberation achieved and the gains attained in System 1 takes the form of a blazing altar of pure fire, out of which, see, the altar suggests always, the altar suggests the necessary sacrifices, which lead to achievement. A purifier out of which is escaping a bird of green. So the bird of green with and golden plumage. So there is the illumination suggested, but the bird of green reminds us of the previous solar system, whose color is green. And these creative hierarchies take with them the harvest of the green system. And golden plumage with five wings outspread. Each wing is one of the creative hierarchies, or one of the five Kumaras, as it is said. But we have to be very careful when we think of Kumaras, because what type of Kumara are we thinking of? Here we have, here we have what's called the five Kumaras, and I'm going to, there they are. But they, I believe they are five intraplanetary Kumaras. In other words, Kumaras of the type that are not planetary logoi per se, but which are the representatives of planetary logoi in the various planets. I think they're of a lower order. All right, let's just see here what is possible to find. Okay. That is an ongoing question. What are the creative hierarchies in which those monads who are monads of the planetary logoi, which creative hierarchies are those? But I would expect them to be found on still higher planes, and I've explained that in various ways, and also from page 272 of Cosmic Fire, the great distance there is between a master of the fifth degree and a planetary logos, and how many Mahamanvantaras ago the planetary logos was at that particular stage. So this tells us that they are separated from planetary logoi are separated from the present masters, let us say, not by one or two Mahamanvantaras, but by several, or by many, even by many. All right. So the wings outstretched, each one of the five creative hierarchies, and the Senza script in the earliest, how interesting, in the earliest Senza script. One day maybe we'll be able to catch this particular language and it will be revealed to those who can benefit from it. The statement there signifies, still I seek. Well, what is being sought? Well, the monastic power is very great, but on the cosmic astral plane, and in relation to the present solar system, which is a second-ray solar system, the qualities of love and wisdom will be found. Also, it should be said, right, let's see. All right. So, let's hear. Okay. Yes, there we have it. So, it should be said that the planetary logoi are dragons of wisdom and have attained a fair measure of the love energy considered in a cosmic sense. This may not yet be the case for these five monastic Kumaras who are on the way, I believe, who are on their way to attaining this. And will do so, I think, through expression on the cosmic astral plane, which is the, as far as humanity is concerned, the plane of pure love. At least relatively speaking, obviously there will be higher planes of love. And of course the key to all this one day is actually to experience these things and not just talk about them. The symbol of the seven creative hierarchies now in manifestation, these are called the manifested creative hierarchies, okay, and here they are. I've decided to use this particular method, which I think is a little bit more rapid, just make a Word document of it and flash it up there instead of having to go search otherwise. So here are the seven, and they're all enclosed in a circle, denoting limitation and the circumscribing of the life. Well, the solar system is a circle. Is a circle. And that which occurs on the cosmic astral plane is not to be considered to be occurring within the solar system, though it's occurring within the body of manifestation, within the energy system of the solar logos. So it's very interesting, as our etheric physical body is to us, the human being, so the solar system is to the solar logos. So limitation is denoted within the system. Excuse me. Limitation and within the system. And all these hierarchies are sons of desire and are paramountly an expression of the desire for a manifested life of the solar logos. That's really an important statement, because apparently there are so many liberated hierarchies. There are so many liberated creative hierarchies, unnamed in this context. Every one of the cosmic planes and subplanes must have upon them groups of monads functioning through certain ray veils and with certain qualities, creating at least on their on some planes certain types of manifestation. When we talk about manifestation, we cannot just talk about the etheric physical body of the solar logos. We can talk about really any plane within his personality. There is manifestation upon his lower mental plane and manifestation upon his astral plane, and of course in the etheric physical we say that's manifestation within the solar system. And you know, when we get onto planes like the cosmic Buddhic and cosmic Atmic, well, it's all relative, isn't it? Apparently these are not planes of manifestation. They're so far beyond what we would call manifested life, and yet all the seven cosmic planes are what we would call the etheric physical super cosmic plane. And so, you know, physical, then, etheric and physical, and therefore a plane of manifestation. So where does manifestation end? The entire universe is a precipitated manifestation of the ray of the absolute emanating from the absolute deity. So, you know, what we call manifestation is just a very relative term. And we've materialized it quite a bit in order to make it comprehensible. Anyway, all of these R7 are sons of desire, because they express, they have within themselves the desire for manifestation on the cosmic physical plane. And they are aspects or expression of the desire of the solar logos for manifested life. The solar logos, like our human being, still desires manifested life. Like the human being on a much lower level, still desires manifested life. Now, when we might say that when the solar logos achieves his fourth initiation, which is not yet the case, he's not even yet achieved the third cosmic initiation, then, if the analogy holds good, there will be no longer desire for manifested life unless under some aspect of service, just as it is for a human being. In this case, we can think as below, so above. So these creative hierarchies, they receive their primary impulse from the cosmic astral plane. Okay. Now, do we necessarily think this primary impulse equate to monadic impulse? And we would have to say not in all cases. We can think that those creative hierarchies, like the burning, like the divine flames and the divine builders, called the burning sons of desire, or the triads or triple flowers, maybe they have their monadic impulse on the cosmic astral plane, on its monadic plane. This is a speculation, but we know this is not the case for the human being and for the lower hierarchies. The human being has its monad on its in the etheric body of the solar logos, and also in the etheric body of the planetary logos. Now, so primary impulse does not equate to monadic impulse, but there is a strong cosmic desire impulse which animates them. a strong cosmic desire, impulse, which animates all these creative hierarchies and makes their focus incarnation on the cosmic physical plane, especially the ones, you know, that are conscious. When you think about the solar angels, and it may be that according to their level of evolution, they would have to at least manifest on the cosmic etheric plane, because they do seem to be lower than the three higher hierarchies, which do manifest on the cosmic etheric plane. But they wouldn't have to manifest on the dense, in the dense physical body, solid, liquid, and gas of the solar logos. And they do. Now, this is also, of these creative hierarchies, they are also the expression of a vibration. See, what we're talking about is that they are expressing a vibration coming from the cosmic astral plane. These seven manifested creative hierarchies, let's see, seven manifested creative hierarchies are expressing a vibration emanating from, from the cosmic astral plane, but also from the cosmic mental plane, we are learning. They are also the expression of a vibration emanating from the second row of petals of the logoic lotus, egoic lotus presumably, on the cosmic mental plane. So again, they are connected with the second aspect and with desire. Because the second row of petals, presumably, is related to the love, are related. Well, no, the second row is related, or a higher correspondence to the love petals of the human human being. You kind of wonder what form of life is it that receives its expression or its impulse from the second row of petals of the human being. You know, let's just say as these seven hierarchies are to the second row of petals in the solar logoic egoic lotus, so X is to the second row of petals in the human egoic lotus. Well, let's see. They receive their primary impulse from the cosmic astral plane, and that is the impulse to manifest on the cosmic etheric plane. They also receive the expression, they are also the expression of a vibration emanating from the second row petals of the egoic lotus. Now, what does this mean, expression of a vibration? Does it mean that they come from the second row of petals? And I think not. But more that they are, more that they are attuned to it, to this type of energy, and are influenced by the cosmic egoic lotus of the solar logos from that particular level of that egoic lotus. Okay. Well, this is a sentence that I have often pondered. The expression of a vibration. What really can it mean? I do not think it's really possible for us to determine what it means, but by analogy, we have to remember we must remember that the petals of the egoic lotus of the human being are not passive, and they are influential in the personality life and in the life of the chakras. So, in a similar way, we're not simply dealing with accumulation when we deal with the petals of the egoic lotus. The petals of the egoic lotus are active and not just passive accumulators of quality. The quality accumulated acts in the life of the growing personality, just simply in the life of the personality. I think that would be the way to say it. Accume. Okay. So, in the same way, the petals of the egoic lotus of the solar logos are influencing as higher centers. See, yeah, that's it. These petals, while not chakras, are like chakras in their influence. So if you look at the map of the human being, what you will see here, let's see, we'll go a little farther here. Whoa, that's not what I want. Right, okay. What you will see here All right, there's a realization here that somehow I failed to press a button. So I'm going to go back here to what I was saying. So what I've been trying to say, and I have to backtrack just a little bit because I failed to press the record button, that we need an analogy between the petals of the cosmic egoic lotus, the egoic lotus of the solar logos, and the egoic lotus of man. So the petals of the egoic lotus of the human being are not passive, but they are an influence in the personality life, in the life of the man in the lower three worlds. They are like the life of the chakras. What I was trying to show is that while we don't have chakras on the higher mental plane, we do have the substanding of the solar angels. In other words, they are producing centers of value accumulation and centers of force direction. One day, when we have our own monastic vehicle, after the egoic lotus has been dissipated through the return of the solar angels, even if that monastic vehicle is generated as a Maya Varupa, we will have our own vortices on that level. But apparently the monad could not generate vortices on that level. For whatever reason, there was a gap. And so the solar angels stepped in and generated force centers, which are called the egoic lotus, and which were accumulators of quality as well, helping to build up the power by which eventually chakras on that level could be found. A master is the product of 35 vortices, or vortices of fire, and right now, if you count the number of vortices of the human being, you will find that there are no self-generated vortices on the higher mental plane, but one day there will be. So eventually when the solar angels return to their source, we will have the potential for generating our own vortices on this level. So the quality which is stored now in the egoic lotus, the accumulated quality, acts in the life of the personality. So they have that influence. Now, how would we expect our own love petals to act in our own egoic lotus in the life of the lower life of the personality? I mean, we say, okay, look, our head centers do thus and so. This energy is coming from my head center, from my heart center, from my throat center. We can also say this is true on the astral plane as well, on our systemic astral plane. And we can say as well that in our temporary ego here on the higher mental plane, these petals are generating certain powers which affect us in the lower worlds. Now, if it's coming from the second tier of petals here drawn by Keith in indigo, then it's going to have a love and wisdom effect. And what would that effect be? We would expect the production of cohesion, of unity, of attraction, of interplay, of form building. We would expect the second aspect of divinity is the form builder. We would expect a kind of unitive interaction. So we would expect this to draw us closer to other human beings and bring about a certain cooperative interactivity, and thus perhaps for the solar logos and his second tier of petals in his egoic lotus, among the, let's just call it like this, cooperative interplay between the members of the manifested creative hierarchies. And I wanted to do this, seven manifested creative hierarchies. Seven manifested, second manifested, seven manifested, okay. Seven manifested creative hierarchies. Okay. So that's what we would expect. And what I'm trying to do here is expand upon the point that that these manifested creative hierarchies are an expression of a vibration emanating from the second row of petals. In other words, the sources of the impulses coming to these creative hierarchies seem to come along the 2-4-6 line. We have the cosmic astral plane impulse and the second row of petals impulse. These have to do with the sixth cosmic plane and the second aspect of divinity as it expresses itself in the egoic lotus, which is actually a love lotus of our solar logos, especially since he has that second ray soul. So there's a primary impulse here and also, let's say, a secondary impulse from the second row of petals of the egoic lotus. And so what's the principle here? Always come back to what we know in trying to discover what we don't know. So if we have at least some somewhat clearer idea of what the egoic lotus of man can do in as it influences his developing personality life, maybe we can generalize from that to what the egoic lotus of the, I think we can, of what the egoic lotus of the solar logos does when he works in his personality life. Now, all of these, this is going to be an egoic, etheric connection, because all the manifested creative hierarchies are etheric expressions or vital expressions one way or another. They are not dense physical expressions. So even though they might have an effect in forming the forms, influencing the matter and forms of the systemic dense physical plane, they are essentially etheric in nature. So we would, when looking at the effect of the human egoic lotus, we would expect a similar effect upon the systemic etheric plane, or within the human etheric body. And then we could, you know, make our analogies, make analogies relative to the etheric subplanes of the human etheric body. In other words, I always have to, in other words, there would be an analogous effect to the divine flames on our, on the first subplane of our etheric body. Our human divine builders, much reduced, would be operating on the second subplane, and the lesser builders on the third, and in association with different chakras of the human being, here with the head centers, here with the heart center, here with the throat center. And then we'd have our own analogy on the fourth ether to the human creative hierarchy. And, well, I'm not sure whether the order would be maintained below, but let's just say we could follow the analogy out. How much in detail it would be presenting itself, I don't know, but our etheric body here, with effects in the dense physical, which is where there are no real creative hierarchies in the kind we're discussing, maybe creative hierarchies from the past, but the effect of the second tier of petals here would operate in the ethers, just as the effect of the, now I'm going to go to a much bigger map, the effect of the second tier of petals up here in the causal body of a solar logos operates in his etheric physical body, but especially in his ethers, having an effect in his dense physical body, consisting of gas, liquid, and solid. Don't know what we can call it, you know. Utter density, the solid aspect of it. So the law of analogy, although it is not going to give us exactitude in such large considerations as this, which are way beyond our experience, will at least give us an indication of the kind of thing we might expect. And when we learn a little something about what goes on in the human system, learn with greater exactitude, we can immediately transfer that sense of exactitude upward to the solar logos in this case, and see if it doesn't give us a little more delineation about his process upon analogous levels. So the law of analogy is our friend, and the law of correspondence is even more exacting. We can come into greater mental clarity about all of this if we wisely use these laws and don't push them too far. All right. That was a bit of a... Yeah, I realize I spent quite a bit of time on that, but maybe it's worth realizing the analogies. They are therefore one and all expression of his love nature. Well, here I've been elaborating on this, and DK said it succinctly. And it is for this reason that buddhi is found at the heart of the tiniest atom, and what we call in this system, electric fire. So let's just say what we seem to be saying here is the solar-logoic buddhi is called by us electric fire. So even electric fire has an overlaying buddhic quality, and is magnetic. In other words, we don't have in our solar system, pure electric fire. So all of these seven creative hierarchies, they are therefore one and all. See, the other creative hierarchies, which are liberated and which are like the five wings of the green bird, they responded to a different vibration from our solar logos, more his intelligence vibration, probably coming from his knowledge petals. Let's make a kind of a hypothesis there. Is it possible that the liberated creative hierarchies, liberated creative hierarchies, right, or maybe called unmanifested creative hierarchies, responded to a different tier of petals of the same solar logos, namely his knowledge tier. Is that possible? It seems like it might be possible. Now we're talking about creative hierarchies responding to the love tier, love of our solar logos is increasingly increasingly in manifestation, just as intelligence was before. So just like third ray monads having in this solar system to refocus from the third subplane of the monadic plane to the second, does this mean they actually become second ray monads? I'm not sure exactly. Maybe it's more the sub-ray which changes. I wonder whether the actual ray of the monad, which I now, until corrected, begin to think of as originating from the logoic plane in one of three categories, maybe that does not change. Although something else does change, the submonadic ray can change, I believe, during the eon, because we're told that the monadic ray does not change, it remains the same throughout the eon. So this kind of implies that if a monad shows up in more than one eon, i.e. in more than one solar system, the monadic ray may change. See, the monad itself, the heart of the monad is pure being, and it has no ray at all. Being is being, and there's no quality to it. It is what it is. But then, what is its means of expression? Remember, rays are like veils. They're like means of expression for these lives we call monads. So we can change our clothes, we can change our veils, we can change the qualities through which we express without changing the monadic essence. So the changing rays of the monad, as it ascends and reamalgamates with other monads, is a subject that is indicated for study one day, but of course, again, it's beyond our ken. Just so that we get the idea that the real monad is pure being, and that its ray is not a permanently inherent, you might say. it is not the monad expresses through a quality, but the monad itself is not qualified. Well, let me, you know, somehow put that down, maybe a little bit out of context, but I'll put it down anyway. The monad expresses through a quality, but is inherently not qualified or unqualified. I don't mean to say that it's not capable. It just, it has no quality per se. Being has no quality. Pure being has no quality, but expresses through quality. Okay. So anyway, these seven creative hierarchies we have been learning are all an expression of the love nature of the solar logos. Now, what is the implication? Perhaps what's going to happen in the next solar system? Maybe we can say this. In the next solar system, will the creative hierarchies of whatever number, will there be nine, will be expressions from the sacrifice petals of the logoic, egoic lotus at that time. Maybe that is the case. And then, of course, now we can look at the different stages that man passes through and say that there are some etheric happenings. Let's just stick to the etheric body. The other chakras of the other levels could be involved also, but sticking to the etheric body, we could say that certain of his etheric vibrations are expressions of his knowledge petals. Certain of them are expressions of his love petals. I mean, you think about how the love petals of the egoic lotus, our human egoic lotus, would be connected with the heart center and the solar plexus center. Makes sense. And others are expression of his will nature. Well, this happens through different incarnations of the human being, doesn't it? Doesn't all happen at once. The expression of his sacrifice petals, until those petals are unfolded, doesn't really exist. And it takes incarnations to unfold them, doesn't it? So right now, let's just say, probably we people such as ourselves have unfolded the love petals to a considerable degree. They'll be completely unfolded when we are initiates of the second degree, confirmed. And we are starting to unfold our sacrifice petals, so they, like chakras, are having a greater effect in the lower life. See, the petals are not passive. That's the main thing that I'm trying to say here. And DK says the same thing in a better way. I'd have to find it for us. But he talks about their influence in the lower life. So our heart and solar plexus is probably much affected by the love petals. And even the second petal in the sacrifice tier would be affecting the heart and solar plexus. It's all a question of numerical resonance, really. And increasingly, will, working through the sacrifice petals, will affect the lower man. But since those are not so unfolded in the case of the average student, not yet, they're on their way, the influence of the sacrifice petals is not as great as it will be later. As we're approaching the third initiation, and all three of the sacrifice petals become completely unfolded, then they will be great will chakras, like will chakras, affecting the sacrificial. There'll be the sacrificial loving will of the soul will express through the sacrifice petals. And in how many lives is that the case? The sacrificial will of the soul will express through those petals. So buddhi is found at the heart of the tiniest atom, or what we call in this system electric fire. So here is an amazing equivalence between buddhi and electric fire. And you would not think so. But remember that all our fires, fire by friction, solar fire, electric fire, are all expressions of solar logoic, well, how big can I make it? Solar logoic solar fire, or buddhi, or cosmic buddhi. So he has this, he's much affected by the Buddhic energy of the Pleiades. He's on that line anyway. He's going toward the Pleiades and towards the cosmic Buddhic plane, and the Pleiades are the source of cosmic Buddhi. It does make you think what kind of system they are in. But, you know, let's not carry it too far. And so even though we say electric fire, we have to remember that the great indigo ray rules all. The second aspect of divinity, solar fire, rules all, and even our human electric fire is really coming from our monad, which is one of the hierarchies, which is an expression of the love nature. So even our own electric fire is really an expression of solar fire. From the positive central life of every form, for the positive central life of every form is but an expression of cosmic Buddhi. Okay, and in order to learn more about that, see, for instance, TCF 1162, where the Pleiades and the dragon and Draco are discussed as sources of cosmic Buddhi. For the positive central life of every form is but an expression of cosmic Buddhi. So, and when we say positive central life, do we mean the jewel in the lotus of every, jewel in the lotus, I can't say that of unconscious lives. I can only say the entire central fire or that part of the central fire which is related to the three synthesizing petals. Because we are told that the synthesizing petals are the result of Buddhi. But sometimes when we're talking about the positive central life, and this is important, we include not only the central jewel, but we include the three petals surrounding the central jewel. So that, you know, maybe eventually, at least in our solar system, probably what will be emphasized always is Buddhi, because we are living in such a second-ray solar system, and probably ultimately a second-ray monad solar system. But it's also possible in a different type of solar system where the first ray is more emphasized in the higher nature of the logos, that the positive central life would be an expression of cosmic Atma, let us say. Now I have a reference that I want to show you where it says, basically the idea behind it is the downflow of Buddhi creates the innermost petals. A downflow of Buddhi takes place along the line of the monastic triangle. And you know what I mean by that triangle, right? I'll get it. This is the monastic triangle right here. This is the central core of the Sun of Mind, the monastic permanent atom, and the mental unit. So a downflow of Buddhi takes place along the monastic triangle until it reaches a point at the very center of the lotus. And I suppose it's going to come mostly from the monastic permanent atom. There, by the power of its own vibration, it causes a change in the appearance of the lotus. At the very heart of the lotus, three more petals appear, which close in on the central flame, covering it closely and remaining closed until the time for the revelation comes for the revelation of the jewel in the lotus. So this has to be considered when we're talking about at the central life, for the central positive central life of every form is but an expression of cosmic Buddhi. I'm going to put this in here and change its color to green, as I sometimes do when trying to differentiate what is inserted from elsewhere. And suggesting then that this positive central life is often includes the three petals, or the energies which will become the three petals. So we have, in a way, at the heart of every atom, I'll put it this way, or at the heart of the human atom, at the heart of the human atom in its egoic lotus is a center of fire, we could call Atma Buddhi. It is will and love. Will and love at the center and representing the monad. So if we look at that heart of Buddhi, or that central expression of Buddhi at the heart of every atom, we have to say, well, maybe we're talking about this union of the two with Buddhi emphasized because of the nature of our particular solar locos. In any case, our three fires are expressions of the Buddhic fire. So, repeating then, all these creative hierarchies are therefore, they are one and all an expression of his love nature, and we look for the kind of behavior we would expect from them, the interactive, cooperative nature where a number of them join together, forming vehicles of expression for a still higher hierarchy and so forth. And it is for this reason that Buddhi is found at the heart of the tiniest atom, or what we call in this system electric fire. Yeah. So our electric fire is a subset of Buddhic fire. But it doesn't tell you that there is no Atma or will at the core. It's just that I think in our solar system it's the Buddhi that tends to be emphasized. For the positive central life of every form is but an expression of cosmic Buddhi, certainly in our solar system. All right, well, I think I've gotten across what I hope to there. And the downpouring of a love which has its source in the heart of the solar logos. Okay, but what type of heart? In the heart of the sun? Because sometimes, you know, the heart of the solar logos per se could be found on the cosmic etheric plane, but that wouldn't be cosmic Buddhi, would it? In other words, if the heart center of our solar logos is found on the, say, second level of the cosmic physical plane, it is not from that source that cosmic Buddhi comes, though that source would be responsive, though that heart would be responsive to cosmic Buddhi, though that heart center of the solar logos would be responsive to cosmic Buddhi. But rather, cosmic Buddhi is coming from the cosmic Buddhic plane, it's coming from the dragon, it's coming from the Pleiades, it's touching in with the solar logoic egoic lotus, and especially with his second tier of petals. And so this heart of the solar logos, I think we have to call the heart of the sun. And this is itself an emanating principle from the one above our logos, he of whom naught may be said. And, you know, this is where I began to develop a theory, the theory that there are more than one above our logos. There are two. And so I came up with the idea of one about whom naught may be said, number one, and one about whom naught may be said, number two. One about whom, number one, and one about whom, number two. And the way I had done it before is that number two is the one most often referred to as the one about whom naught may be said, pure and simple. And that is a number one is, okay, maybe I can, right, so number one is a cosmic logos. Number two is a super constellational logos. Super cosmic logos. And let me try this. Super CNL. That's CSL. CNL. Super constellation logos. Yes, I had it. All right. So do we get what we're saying? Go to page 293 of Cosmic Fire, and you'll see a cosmic logos, and then you'll see something called the unknown. The super constellation logos is the unknown, as far as I can understand at this point. And so how many ones above our logos are there? I would say this. The logos of the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, is above our logos. The logos of the one about whom naught may be said, or the logos of the super constellation in which we are included, is the one about whom naught may be said, and is also above our logos, further above. So when he says the one above our logos, the one, at least given my present level of understanding or ignorance or whatever it is, I would have to say a one above our logos. Anyway, the heart of the sun is an emanating point for, I believe he's talking about cosmic Buddha coming from the Pleiades. And the Pleiades do affect the solar angels. We have seen that. And the Pleiades are affecting, I believe, the solar angelic construction of the egoic lotus of our solar logos. So a great cosmic love energy is coming in from Draco, from the Pleiades. Remember these great constellations, they have more than one ray. So now we're talking about their second ray aspect. And it's coming into the heart of the sun, the egoic lotus structure, and it's into the love petals, and then affects the hierarchy. So let's make a line of descent from Draco to the Pleiades to the heart of the sun to the egoic lotus, or egoic lotus of the solar logos, to the second circle of petals of the solar logoic egoic lotus, to the cosmic astral plane, to the seven manifested creative hierarchies. So I think that's some important line of descent. These lines of descent, DK does give them to us, you know, when he's giving us the integration formulas, not integration formulas, the fusion formulas in the book Esoteric Psychology 2, he shows us in the human microcosm how the lines descend from the monad into the soul, into certain petals, into certain chakras, and so forth, in order to create soul personality fusion. Well, now we're looking at a greater line of descent, and all of this will produce, let's say that all this will produce what I would call etheric coherence in the etheric physical body of the solar logos. That is what the creative hierarchies will do. and there will be a big etheric cooperative interplay, between these creative hierarchies. And we are learning more and more about how they influence each other and assist each other and so forth. Well, I think Okay. I think what I'll do now is say that this is the end of Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries number 13A, and we really haven't moved at all on page-wise. We're on page 1225, I guess. Something like that. Let's see, 1226. All right. We're on page 1226, and we'll go on in just a moment. I lost a little time there by failing to press the button, you know, but beginning of Cosmic Fire, web commentaries, 13B, page 1226.